I really love it when God really fries my brain, you know, and it still does happen quite regularly for me. And I want to share something that the Lord laid on my heart a wee while ago, just about some stuff that He spoke to me about that wrecked me. It was kind of like I hadn't seen this stuff before, and I don't know how many times I've read it. And so I'm just going to walk my way through a few of those things with you. There's a couple of things before I go and speak about that I think it would be good for me to just talk about. The first one is called the law of precedent. The law of precedent is a very interesting one of the laws in Zion. It's one of the things that the Father has set in place. There's 12 laws in Zion and 12 laws in Jerusalem. The Bible says the word of the Lord out of Jerusalem and the law of the Lord out of Zion is found in Isaiah 51. I did somewhere around. Just get your concordance and have a look at it. There's two scriptures that refer to those things saying exactly the same thing in the Bible. And so those laws are very, very important. In Zechariah 3, it says, if you walk in my ways and keep my laws, it's that laws that he's talking about, is those laws that are associated with Zion and the laws that are associated with Jerusalem. And so what I have found is that there's 24 laws, and there's 12 in each region. One is Jerusalem, one is Zion. Those 24 laws make up the 24 elders that cast their crown, which is a realm of government that is fully expressed on the earth in surrender to the Father who has the highest government. And so there's not 24 people, it's about the laws. And so when the Bible says, if we keep the laws, keep these laws, it's not talking about the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments is your marriage ketubah and your contract. If you haven't done one, you need to do one. Because you haven't done one, God's got nothing to work with and you ain't going to get married. Get the CD on it. It's called the marriage ketubah and the trading clause. And so some of these things are very, very important for us. And so one of the law of precedent is one of the things that the Father has set so that there is a way that God looks for in responsiveness from man that unlocks a kingdom dynamic that begins to operate out of heaven, that begins to influence the earth. So let's talk about the law of precedent. The law of precedent is if something is done that sets a precedent in heaven that gives the Father something to work with. Okay? Revelations, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah that was slain before the foundation of the earth. So before anything was ever formed, Jesus was slain, right? The Bible says that. And so we come all. So the precedent was set in the spirit kingdom world to deal with the potential of sin in all of what could happen within this region, because free will empowers you to sin by choice. And so what we've got is a precedent was set here. So we come all the way down into history where Jesus now comes onto the earth and begins to engage the earth and comes down and gets slain physically here. Jesus could not have done that unless it had been accomplished back there. Let's look at some of these other ones. Hey, Abraham, I want you to go and sacrifice your son Isaac. That's a cult practice? Well, isn't it? So he knew all about a cult practice. So can you imagine if God said you to do something today that had the appearance of a cult practice? What the church would do? Because it's not in the Bible. And so what you have is you have then Abraham, by his obedience, took his son up to the top of a mountain. Okay, so his son would have had to have walked with him and carried the wood, because there's no wood on the top of a mountain. And he would have had to have helped him build the altar and put the wood on it. And he would have known he was going to be sacrificed. So there was a willingness in Isaac to participate with what God had said through the Father. So Isaac's willingness set a precedent for Jesus to be on the earth and willing to participate with the Father in the desire of the Father to bring the earth back into redemption. Let's talk about another one. God comes to one of his prophets and says, hey dude, I want you to go and marry a prostitute and I want you to have two children. But wait a minute, this guy is a Nazirite. Right? No woman, no touching, no nothing, no nothing. And God comes to him and says, hey, I want you to go and do this. And so he goes, yep, which is the way we're supposed to respond, even though we don't necessarily understand it all. So he goes and he goes to the local house where these women operate, and he goes and chooses himself a wife, brings her out, and has two children by him. See, the precedent was this. The prophet said the capacity and the precedent as a man of God to go into that which was in slavery and that which was in corruption and full of idolatry and marry her and be willing to set a precedent so that God could come to the children of Israel in their slavery, in their idolatry, and marry them. Now, so we have another situation. God begins to speak, I think it's to Jeremiah. Hey, dude, I want you to take the dung of men, and I want you to cook your food on it. Ezekiel. I want you to cook your food with it. Now, wait a minute. He's a Nazarite. That stuff's considered unclean. You don't touch it. And here is God going. I mean, can you imagine what would happen today if you had all the laws and you understood them all, and the church system had all the laws and they understood it all, and you as a prophet came to the pastor of the church and the leadership of the church and said, hey, God's asked me to cook my food with human dung. Could you imagine what they would say? Like, they would go, it's not in my scriptural doctrine. You can't do that because of all the laws. Well, the guy said, yep, I'll go and do that. God set a precedent by the man doing that, that all that rubbish that is in our lives, he had the capacity to come and be able to touch. I mean, can you imagine, and this is Jeremiah, and I think this is Jeremiah now. I can't remember all these guys. I just read about them all and can see the stuff. Hey, I want you to go and lie naked on one side and then go lie naked on the other side. Excuse me, that's kind of not done in our society. See, setting a precedent that Christ could hang naked on the cross. Because, by the way, there was no clothes on the guys when they hung on the cross. See, the law of precedent opens up the capacity for God to do something, and he takes it into the heavens and uses it through the judicial system because there's been a precedent set. Anybody knows what happens in the law system with this precedent? You can bring the precedent out in the court and say, the judgment was made there by a precedent, therefore that precedent stands here and the same judgment must apply here. Now that to me gets me really excited, particularly when there's little things that happen in the Old Testament and things that happen in the New Testament that we just read as a story and don't really understand this law of precedent. And so I want to unlock some of this for you today that I think will be helpful for you. What time do we finish the service? Okay. Just want to make sure. Tomorrow. No, I've got other things to do tomorrow. And so I really love the Old Testament. I have idiots who say to me, oh, the Old Testament's not important. It's been done away with. Well, actually, that means you've been done away with because the precedent of who you are has been set in the Old Testament. So it's just, I mean, these things to me are just really important. You need to read and understand the Old Testament, reading it with revelatory eyes, because Jesus didn't do away with it. He had a higher precedent that was set, that was established on the old, but the old had to be established on the new because you are the sum of all your choices. And so whatever your life is the sum of everything that's gone before you. So God is creating an environment so the sum of all his choices through the Old Testament is now founding on the New Testament, which sets the boundary and the parameter for the altar to be set up to establish a new paradigm, right? And so some of you are really looking at me like I'm mad. Who's your first time here? Just put your hands up. Okay, so a couple of you. Okay, anyway. So let's just read some scriptures out here, and my Bible's as good as yours, so you can just listen to me read. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. And the son of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, don't you know that your Lord will take away your master from your head today? And he said, hey, guy, shut up. And Elijah said to him, Elisha, tarry here and wait, I pray you, that they send me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord lives and as my soul lives, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, don't you know that the Lord will take away your master? I mean, this is now, I don't know about you, but hey, listen, I've already heard this twice. Shut up. So they came to Jericho. And there came the prophets from Jericho to Elisha and said, don't you know that the Lord will take away your master from your head today? And he answered and said, hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, carry and wait here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as my soul lives, I will not leave you. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets stood far, a view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle, wrapped it together, and smote the waters, and they were divided one from the other, so that they went two went over on dry ground. See, precedent was set by a man with a staff that put his staff into the water, and it divided. Elisha knew all about the precedent and the law of precedent, which means that the staff of a prophet was his mantle. These guys know all about, the Israelites know all about the law of precedent. That's how they discuss their word, and that's how they engage divine revelation, is by precedent. And it came to pass, when they went over, that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I be taken away from you. And Elisha said, I pray, let the double portion of your spirit be upon me. So let's just talk about this double portion issue here. Because there's another law that is associated with the double portion. That law is called the law of firstborn. So let's talk about the law of firstborn here, because it is another precedent, that is another spiritual law that operates. Adam was the first man. Okay? The law of firstborn, secondborn is judgment and grace. Judgment on firstborn, grace on secondborn. Adam, firstborn, judgment. Jesus, second Adam, grace. Jesus, firstborn son, judgment. Us, secondborn sons, grace. So let's talk about this issue of firstborn. A firstborn was the only one that was entitled to a double portion of the Father's blessing. The reason he was entitled to that was because he had to be a kinsman redeemer. He had to be the judge, the juror. He had to look after all of the family, because they lived in great big families in those days. It wasn't just mum and dad and a couple of kids. It was mum and dad and grandma and uncles and aunties and all the grandchildren, children, children, or their children's children, any friends that were connected with the children's children, and all. It was just like this family. And the firstborn had the responsibility for adjudicating all of that stuff. The kinsman redeemer is this, that if I have a brother and he dies and his wife and him have not had children, I have to have children by her and take care of all those children as though they were my own. So there was responsibility for firstborn. Also, what would happen too is if the firstborn, if the secondborn son did a murder, say, and he got to a safe haven, those people and the people that he murdered, their family could come after the secondborn son unless he got to a safe haven. If he got to a safe haven before the judgment could happen, then what would happen? They had the right to come after the firstborn as though he was the secondborn son who had done the murder. Quite a responsibility. That's why they were the only ones entitled to a double portion. So I have people who come up to me and say to me, oh, Ian, I want a double portion of what's on your life. And I say, sure, let me pray for you. Father, I ask for double the trouble, double the heartache, double the striving, double the engagement, double the time, double. Lord, I ask for you, double them. They go, what are you doing? Well, you asked me for double what I've got. What do you expect me to pray? Pray nice little sweet fluffy prayers for you that your labor won't be, you know, and that's so hard as mine has been. If you want to labor, you've got to get the done. You want a double portion, you've got to labor twice as hard as everyone else. That's what always takes someone 20 years to do something, and it takes others 1 year. Because you've got to labor to get the stuff done, and then the others just receive it because they step into grace. See, so the law of precedent and the law of firstborners, it requires someone to make a path, and out of that path, others follow it, and they step into grace because someone's paid the price. So let's just talk about us for a bit here. Don't go to sleep on me. So let's just talk about us here for a minute. I want you to nudge everybody, make sure they're all awake. And so let's talk about us. So we go on in our life, and remember, we're the second-born son because Jesus is the firstborn. We're the second-born son. So we go in our life, and we get involved in sinning. And so we come to Jesus and we ask him forgiveness. Do you realize that the whole of the demonic world has the authorization and mandate to go after Jesus because of what you've done? That's why there's a court system. Because they present their case. And Jesus goes, nah, they confessed their sin. They agreed with the condition of their sin. Therefore, I have to forgive them. So it stands in court. Get out. But if you don't confess your sin and you don't deal with it and you don't deal with your stuff, Jesus hasn't got anything to work with, and he has to give you over to them to torment you until you come to repentance. Isn't this stuff interesting? I don't know about you, but I find this kind of stuff really, really interesting regarding my spirit walk. And so the law of firstborn, secondborn, basically what happens is there's an endowment of power and government on the firstborn to handle the responsibility of laying the track first and taking the responsibility for all that goes on. Then what happens is a secondborn can come into the shadow of that and engage the grace of the firstborn, so that there is, don't go to sleep on me, so that there is an empowerment of the presence of God that releases the grace of God over our lives. And that's why you always find when somebody does something first, it takes years. You know, I don't know if you know about scientific experiments. I mean, it takes years for someone to uncover something. And once someone's uncovered it, everybody can do it in about 5 minutes. Isn't it weird? But this is this issue of firstborn, secondborn, and the law of precedent being set in place. And so we have this circumstance here now with Elijah and Elisha about firstborn, secondborn. And so he's now, listen, he's asking for a double portion. He does not have a right because he's the student of the father. But Elisha was the first son of Elijah. So therefore, he had a right to ask for it because Elijah did not have any children. See, so I began to ask these questions then. How come he got that right? Well, it's called a servant serving his master until he comes to a maturity, and the master gives him in the year of Jubilee the right to become part of the family. And his son's and his part of the family, and then the son, and then the slave who used to be the servant now has the right of inheritance as a son. That's what happens with, see, precedent. All precedent, the same way as Jesus, as we serve Christ, he no longer calls us servants, but he calls us friends, because we go from being a servant of God to a son of God, and we come into the right of inheritance. Are you all with me? I'm just trying to expose some of this stuff, so when I talk about what I want to talk about, you get some understanding of what's going on in all of this stuff. Because remember, the Hebrews know about all of this stuff. We as Greek don't, because it's not in our culture. We get taught theology. And so we end up in this mess because we don't understand the cultural implications of the way that the Hebraic culture was set up and its application. They all knew all of the stuff. By the time most Hebrew children were 8, they could quote the whole of their governmental books. There's 4 main books that they studied. They could quote it. And then they could begin to talk about it. And that's what Jesus was doing in the temple with all these Pharisees and talking about the word of God. And they were astonished at his wisdom. 12. Talking with mature men who's been doing this for years and years and years, and they go, it's called catching fly syndrome. Anyway, and so there are patterns. There's always patterns that God releases out of heaven for us as men from the word to see the pattern. Once the pattern's been uncovered, you can begin to engage the product of that pattern. We can begin to engage the product of the law of firstborn. We can begin to engage the product of that other law which I was talking about, which is the law of precedent. Once you can see that pattern, it opens up the door for your engagement of that stuff. And so let's talk about a little bit about what these guys went, and before I kind of, let me finish off talking here because I got totally sidetracked. And as it came to pass, they went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind. I don't know about you, but I know in Sunday school they say that Elijah went up in a fiery chariot. But he didn't. He went up in a whirlwind. Now, I want you to see something here. Remember, we've talked about threes. Threes are establishing government. So what you have here is you have a law of precedent which occupies and creates something. You have the chariots of fire and the horses of fire. Those two things are a bridge that opens up a window in heaven for the glory of the Lord to come down and manifest. And it manifests in the form of a whirlwind. So the whirlwind can take Elijah up through the window in a whirlwind. Okay, so three things establish government on the earth. So when those three things turn up, the government of God appears to actually engage a man who is already so much there that his physical body does not have to pass into death. A precedent has been set right there for you not to ever have to die. That's why in John 6 it says, if you eat my body and drink my blood, you shall not die. Fiery horses, fiery church, two strands of a DNA cord that needs the fire, the whirlwind of revelation in the middle of it to make your life, to make your DNA come alive, which changes by precedent you what you are on the earth here today. That's why we will not have to necessarily pass through death to go into the kingdom world. Precedent. When you see these things said in the word, it begins to change the way that you view stuff. And we've also talked about fours, haven't we not? Fours, you know, four. Four is the window, the point of the corner of a window that open up the potential for things to go on. I want you to see that Elijah and Elisha went to four places. The first one they went was in Gilgal. The word Gilgal means a wheel or a whirlwind. The second place they went was to Bethel. Bethel means a home or house or a court setting. Then the third place they went was Jericho. Jericho means a fragrance or a walled city. The fourth one they went to and went through was Jordan, which means the descender or crossing over. So the first one they went down, then they waited, and then they went. Little things that are very, very important for you to see in the Bible. So those four things mean a whirlwind of a court from a walled city to empower you to cross over. It could mean a wheel in a house full of fragrance that empowers the descender to ascend. So you have these things that are written in the Bible that actually open up the potential of the window of God for you and I to go through what Christ has done to enter into the fullness of the potential possibility that has been made open for us by precedent, by all these other laws that are established by Christ. And so we now have the situation where Elijah goes up into the whirlwind. His body gets transformed because of his connection with the realm of God. The two change his DNA. The third empowers his DNA to have life once again and become a living being. So it goes from the physical world as a living being into the realm of the presence of God. For that to happen, your DNA has got to be changed. And when it begins to change, let me tell you, the whole of the kingdom world begins to open up. One of the reasons some of this stuff opens up for me is because I know my DNA is beginning to change because I am different than what I was a year ago. I'm more weirder. I don't really care what your opinion is. I just know what I am. Now, isn't it really interesting? It says that, let's just finish up reading this stuff here. So they parted and went up in the whirlwind, and Elisha saw it. And he cried out, "My father, my father." Wait a minute. Elisha was a servant to Elijah and was being mentored by Elijah. So now he's crying out, my father, because he's, remember, become the firstborn because of the right of inheritance. And he goes, "My father, my father." Really important. Two little words there. Because what's the function of two? To open up an ark, so a window in heaven, so that the glory can come down. And so when Elisha is going up, Elijah goes, "My father, my father." What gets left behind? And what falls down off Elijah? His mantle. So the mantle is important. You just got to pay attention to these small things here because there's a precedent being set here. Right? Elijah goes into heaven as ascends into heaven on the whirlwinds and chariots. And his mantle gets left behind. And Elisha picks up the mantle, goes to the river and said, "Where is this God of Elijah?" and smites the river and it parts open again. See, when he called him his father, he had the right to inheritance that was all on the father. There is a precedent being set here, people. A major precedent being set. Let's go into the New Testament, shall we? Because, you know, the Old Testament and New Testament are two things. What's the function of two things? To open up an ark so that there comes a joining together. When they join, a window of heaven opens up and the glory comes down over it. Let's go into the New Testament. I love what Jesus has done here, boy. Oh, my goodness. When I uncovered this, I got rather excited. By the way, this is some of the relatively new stuff I've been involved in, just so you know. It's great. Now, let's understand this. Every Hebrew boy's dream was to become a rabbi and to be mentored by a rabbi so that they could take on the image and bear the image of the rabbi, because the rabbi was God's oracle and living testimony in the face of the earth. And so all the Hebrew people would have known their word, knowing about these little laws that we've been talking about here, and knowing that precedent was set in the Old Testament for the New Testament, because the Old Testament lays the foundation to build the New Covenant over, so the New Covenant sets a new precedent in the Spirit Kingdom world. Okay, so in the Old Testament it was, hey, listen, don't go lusting after another man's wife. But then the New Testament is, man, if you do it in your heart, you've already done it, so deal with your heart. Then what he says, you don't have to deal with stuff. Jesus set the precedent in the covenantal system there. Let's go and read the scripture. This is found in John 6:61. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said to them, does this offend you? What? And what if you shall see the Son of Man ascending up where he was before? They know all about the law of precedent, and here's Jesus coming in with a big stick saying to them, hey, what are you going to do if you see me ascending into heaven the same way as Elijah did? Let's go to Acts 1:8. I'll just finish reading another couple of scriptures out of John 6. It is the spirit that quickens and the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Two things. An ark, spirit, life, glory. You've got to have the words of Christ, spirit and life. But there's some of you that do not believe. It's the way the church is today. And I love the church, but it's just the fact. So the Bible says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they cast the devils, and people don't like doing it. So you don't believe. Whatever. Acts 1. This is Acts 1, verse 7. And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father, two things, times and seasons, and arcs, which has put in his own power, but you shall receive the power that of the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both, two things, in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the world. Four things. When you see these patterns, they're all the way through the Bible. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld him, he was taken up, and the cloud received him out of his sight. Excuse me. Let's just get this in a context here. In the Old Testament, precedent, mantle on the floor, glory manifesting, going up into heaven because he sees them. Jesus gets to them and says, hey, what are you going to do if you see me going? Now they're all the way in the book of Acts, and here they're standing, and Jesus is going up, and he's being received into a cloud. What do you think fell off Jesus? I don't see that anyone picked it up. It's called sonship, rulership. Mandate ship. I mean, whatever ship you want to go on, it's what you need to get shipped with. Sorry, that was really bad. See, I believe that revelation is being released about what Jesus left behind when he ascended by the law of precedent that was set in the Old Testament. There's some stuff. It talks about the Holy Spirit. See, I believe that the Holy Spirit was a portion and a part of that mantle that came upon the sons of God in that day when they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. But I also believe that there is another role, that was the power of God. I believe there's another role that was not picked up, and that's the issue of sonship. Full, mature sonship, whereby you can cry, Abba, Father. See, it's a rite of inheritance that's been set by what Jesus did to raise us up in a position to be able to come into the fullness of what the Father carried and a double portion, because did not Jesus say, the works that I've done, you're going to do also and greater? That to me sounds like double portion anointing. I get excited about this stuff because to me there's a promise that Jesus has released to the church today, and the church is wandering around trying to figure out how to do it instead of engaging it, going back to that point in history. That's why you can go back in history, go back to the point and say, Lord, I receive you as my Father. I call you Abba, Father. Therefore, I have a right of inheritance to all that Jesus had and greater. And I want it today because I want to look like him, be like him, do what he's doing and do greater. Tick-tock. Tick. See, I believe God's releasing some of this revelation to the children of God today. And for me, because I understand time dispensation and all the issues of regarding eternity and all that stuff and how to go back in it, I've been back and I've watched Jesus go up and I watched this glory come down. And there's a cloak of glory that all of us have the right of access to go into that whole world of Jesus' government. Stand on our feet. Father, I want to thank you that you set a precedent. Father, that where Jesus went, we can go. Father, I want to thank you that in the precedent from the Old Testament, where Elijah's mantle fell, when Elisha cried, Father, Father, he received a double portion of a window that opened up the glory of God's mandate, Father, on his life. Lord, we want to have that window open up so we can call you Father, Father. Lord, that you might open up a window that we would experience the fullness of sonship on the earth today, to come into the revelation of the knowledge of sonship and what it means to carry and bear the image of God, bearing his DNA, so that 1 John 3 can come to pass, that he that is born of God sins not, and he that is begotten, the evil one, touches him not. Father, we want that DNA strand. Father, the seed of God, born and begotten. We want that window, Father, to open over our lives. That we would come into the fullness of the expression of God on the earth. And today, Lord, we say, where is the God of Jesus? Where is our Father? Where is our Father, our Father? And Lord, you taught us to pray, our Father, which is in heaven. Lord, we acknowledge this today of your preeminence in the world of the kingdom. We acknowledge, Lord, that there's no one higher than you. That as we serve you, Lord, we will come into a right of inheritance, Lord, that will totally and absolutely rapture and change us to bear your likeness in your image. In Christ Jesus' name. Amen. I would really recommend that you go home and you think about and meditate around what I've talked about here today until you get it. Because I guarantee you, once you get it, it's going to change the way you feel about yourself, the way you feel about God, and the way you feel about what you can do on the face of the earth, and what the way you feel about what you can do in the heavens. This thing empowers you to do the works of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Have a wonderful rest of your day.